Thanks for listening to the best of The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of defending your take, I'm going to turn it over right now.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
My man, my brother, and he's man enough to apologize to me for going at me yesterday when I said it's time for Baker Mayfield to play. So I'm turning over the floor to my brother, my humble brother, to accept his apology. Go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with your radios, people. There's nothing wrong with your radios. Don't worry about it.
Hold on. It's not even about me.
No, it is about you. It is about
Baker
you.
Baker and Audie, we don't deserve apologies.
But hold on. Hold on. Before we get there, and we're going to get there, all right? We'll let you have your day in the sun.
See, you're going to try to paint the context.
No, we're going to do all that.
It really isn't an apology.
No, I'm not saying all that.
And don't bring up Sam Darnold.
I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to say, but first, let's welcome in our crew. From The Odd Couple, of course, Rob G, our producer.
Yes.
Alex, of course, our engineer. And, of course, Deb Carson, the anchor, with all the updates for us during our show. So they're all on the other side of the glass. And, yes, Chris Broussard, you know what? We've been doing this show since March together, weekends. Now it's a five-day-a-week show starting this week, and you finally nailed one. You got it. You got it yesterday. You got it. I'm giving you credit. With a K. I'm giving you credit. All right? And I just want you to,
what a backhanded compliment.
Before you crow and stick your chest out and do all that, I never said he couldn't play. I never said any of that. All I said, and he played well yesterday. He certainly did. All I said was they were trying to reestablish themselves to get some wins, and that's why they were waiting before they put him in. Tyrod Taylor gets the concussion thing going. He gets his opportunity, and he cashed in. And he turned in a performance suitable for framing and give it up for them and all the fans in Cleveland. And they get their, what, second win in the last two-plus seasons. Yep. I mean, this is the start of a third season, and here they are to get their second win. So there's reason for optimism. We talked about it yesterday, Chris. He's the number one pick. He's going to play. We realized at some point he would play. Came maybe a little sooner than Hugh Jackson thought. But you know what? They couldn't ask for anything more. So is that good enough for you? What?
It started a little funky.
I gave you your credit.
It started a little funky, but you came along.
All right, there we go.
You got better as you went on. But he should be the starter going forward, right?
Well, hell yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hughes being professional and polite
because
and courteous.
What do we
to
always say?
Team leader.
And what do you always say? People aren't supposed to lose their jobs because of injury, right?
So but he's in this case, he should.
No, but I'm just saying normally, and I think that's why he wasn't so quick to just say, do you know what I mean? That he's out.
He did the right thing.
Because of the way he went out. Do you see what I'm saying? Because he was hurt. So I think that Hugh did the right thing.
He did the right thing. He could have said it differently. I mean, to say I'm going to watch the tape, I mean.
But they all say that, Chris. That saying is cliche. How many coaches say that?
No, they all do. But in this case, it really rings false because, I mean, in two-plus years, you got two tapes like this. Two tapes. That's it. All the other tapes are losses.
No, I got it.
You got two tapes. So
those are tapes that Roger Goodell could have burned with the Spygate tapes, right? All the other tapes.
There you go. But he could have handled it better. But overall, he's fine. He did the right thing because, you know, Tyrod, as you said, is in concussion protocol number one.
Right.
So, you know, just he'll talk to him privately and let him know that now Baker Mayfield is the starter going forward. And that's the way it should be. He shouldn't have to hear it in the press first. So I'm fine with that. And but Baker Mayfield, he was dynamic. And Rob, you know, I'm from Cleveland. I'm from a lot of places, but Cleveland being one of them. And, I mean, I remember when LeBron James was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm not saying Baker Mayfield is LeBron James.
I was going to say, please pump the brakes, okay?
No, I am. They're pumped fully on that. But I remember when LeBron got drafted, he was asked, what do you think it's going to be like in Cleveland next year? And he said, it's going to be lit up like Vegas. And when Baker Mayfield took the field and began surgically tearing apart that New York Jets defense right from the get-go, it was lit up like Vegas. I mean, and the crowd was lit up like Vegas. His teammates were lit up like Vegas. The fans watching on television were lit up like Vegas. Everybody was into it. And Rob, I mean, some of the things that came out, Fanatics officials, we know, you know, they sell the jerseys. They said from halftime until midnight last night, from the moment Mayfield entered the game and a little after that halftime till 12 o'clock midnight, his jersey was the best-selling jersey of the day.
Now, Chris, don't get your panties in a bunch about the jersey.
His jersey sold more than Khalil Mack and Tom Brady combined.
Wait a minute.
For yesterday.
What's the actual number of jerseys sold? Do we have a number?
I don't know what the number is.
Because I'm just saying, be careful.
But wait a minute. That's impressive.
Be careful because I'm not – of course, he's present. He's the flavor of the month. Everybody has their Tom Brady
jersey.
He's
not even the flavor of the month.
Yes, he is.
He was the flavor of the
night. Of the night.
That's it.
But I'm saying because somebody sells a jersey on a night that they debut and have an unbelievable night, I get that. I mean, it doesn't mean anything more than what it is.
The night Darnold played really well, came back from throwing an interception, a pick six on his first NFL pass. Did he become the best-selling NFL jersey?
Was he the number one overall pick?
He was number three.
No, but it's not like being the number one pick.
He was just as big as Baker. I mean, he's pretty much just as big. He was right there. Come on.
The number one pick is the guy that people are looking at.
And most people think he's better or thought, and I'm not saying he's not better than Baker. We'll see. But most people, I would say, think he's better than Baker Mayfield. And so I think that's an apt comparison.
Well, we'll have to see as it plays
out. And he's playing in New York.
Because I think you got to be
not Cleveland.
No, I get that. I totally get it. But I think as if he had, it's always easier to go overboard and be like, oh, I'm all in this guy. Oh my God! Because the first game and the first time he got out on the field, he did well, Chris. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to downplay what he did. But I think people are getting way ahead of themselves. After half of football. That's all.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to go overboard. I'm just giving out the facts.
No, I understand.
I'm just saying how excited you are.
I agree,
He was the most mentioned athlete on Twitter all night. Five times more mentions than LeBron James and Conor McGregor. And both of them had things going on. LeBron has been in the news all week.
But he's not playing, though.
Conor McGregor had a big press conference and announcement.
But he didn't fight.
No, but his press conferences are huge. Sometimes they're as good as the fight. And he announced a six-fight deal with the UFC. So I'm just saying, again, I'm with you. I'm not here to say Baker Mayfield's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Or that he arrived last night.
I'm not here to say Baker Mayfield is going to lead the Browns to the playoffs. I'm not saying any of that. I actually think he's going to have his struggles like every other rookie. He might start struggling in the next game.
No,
it's very likely. But I'm just saying that this guy has captivated not only Cleveland, but a big part of America. And, you know, we'll see if he can live up to it. But, you know, that's what he's done.
No.
I think it's good.
If you're a Cleveland Browns fan or a football fan or you watched him in college, of course you were glued last night. You were excited. The Thursday night game, a game that people thought was going to be good. They were favored for the first time in what? Almost 2 years.
At home 2015. Since 2015.
Yeah, 3 years. I mean, so there was an anticipation. You talked about it. I mean, even Deb Carson had mentioned it to me, and a lot of people were saying that maybe Baker, they're 0-2, maybe he'll finally get in. And unfortunately, Tyrod Taylor wasn't playing well, and then he had the concussion. So the door was open. And in football, you know what it's all about, Chris. Next man up, and you wait for your opportunity to get in there, and hopefully you play well enough never to come out. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
he took advantage of it, and he made a great impression on a first time out there, and it'll be hard for them to go backwards until he really proves that he shouldn't be out there, and I don't see how they will go backwards. So I'm with you. I think he'll be the starting quarterback from here on out unless something drastically changes. But people in Cleveland have a right. Maybe they feel like they finally got a quarterback and they have finally have the makings of a team that they haven't had for a long time.
It's good timing, and again, I'm not saying he's going to be the LeBron James of the NFL. I'm telling you, in fact, he won't be the LeBron James of the NFL. He's not going to be that good, however good he is, whatever his ceiling is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Colin Kaepernick is going to receive an award from Harvard University. The W.E.B. Du Bois Award, along with Dave Chappelle, and obviously W.E.B. Du Bois was a great African-American intellectual, activist, author, one of the biggest African-American leaders in the early part of the 20th century. So this is an historic award that Colin Kaepernick is receiving. And obviously, you know, a few weeks ago, Nike made him the face of their Just Do It campaign, the 30th anniversary of that slogan that's become so big for them. And Rob, it just seems like over and over and over again, as Colin Kaepernick is being awarded and lauded for his stance against police brutality, every time he's lauded and awarded, it's like a loss, an L for the NFL.
No doubt about it, Chris. And we talked about this. I said it, that every time the NFL has mud on its face. I mean, everybody else understands the work and what he's trying to do for a man to give up his own livelihood and his career to do what's right to make the world better. Only the NFL could look at him as a pariah and a guy who you don't want around and vilify him. It's the wrong side of history. And Roger Goodell and the NFL, they look bad on this. They look bad every time. So what? Are people going to boycott Harvard now? Is that the next step? You're not going to send
your
kid to Harvard?
Nike stock is at an all-time high.
No, we already knew
it. It just hit an all-time high. Now, it went down initially after the announcement about Kaepernick being their guy. And now, obviously, it's shot up to historic levels. And look, I want to say this because, you know, we may have some listeners out there who have the misconception. And I'm going to say that again. The misconception that Colin Kaepernick is being anti-American and that he's not being patriotic. He actually is being more patriotic than any of us because we know that America has been about speaking out against what's wrong. Speaking out against oppression, that's how the country became a country rather than a colony of Britain. And he is speaking out against oppression of American citizens. He's seeing American citizens being shot unarmed by the police. Not all, of course, not even most, but some. And he is speaking out against that. He is not speaking out against America, against the flag, against the anthem. In fact, he's gone out of his way to be respectful of it. Remember, early in his protest, he spoke to a former, you know, veteran, and the veteran
Nate
suggested
Boyer, right?
Kneeling.
Right.
Yes, Nate Boyer, kneeling out of respect to show people this is not about me disrespecting the anthem. And he decided to kneel because initially he was sitting.
Right.
And he's kneeling. So his kneeling was actually showing a sign of respect. And I do want to say this too. Remember who also knelt during the national anthem at one point? Tim Tebow. To protest against abortion. And that's his right, and there was no backlash.
None whatsoever.
No backlash. None. And I want to say, I'm a child. I know I've met Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow. He's like me. He's in the pew on Sunday. I get down with Tim Tebow. But I'm going to say, anybody who looked at Tebow kneeling during the anthem and had no problem with it, and you look at Kaepernick and these other African-American players kneeling and have a problem with it, that's racist. Pure and simple, it's racist because they're both doing the same thing, and you got one reaction to the white guy and another to the black guy. It's racism on your part if you didn't poo-poo both or didn't salute both.
Right. 877-99 on Fox. And I'm curious, as these things pile up and these people come to embrace Colin Kaepernick for the work that he's done, and Chris, he's put up his own money. A couple of million dollars of his own money to try to do some stuff in the neighborhoods and work with people and try to change what's going on. And the other part is, I think, and we've talked about this before, because always the thing thrown at people is always like, well, you know, you should be worried about black-on-black crime rather than about a handful of guys getting shot by cops.
Right.
Right? And we'd always say the thing that you got to get past is, we understand crime. Do we like it in our neighborhoods, Chris? No, right? But we understand that people who don't have try to take from others. I get crime.
Right.
But we can never accept the people who we pay to protect and serve us to kill us. That can't be accepted under any circumstances.
No question.
And that's the difference. That's why you have to, you know, protest against bad cops who have done bad things. So,
right.
So 877-99 on Fox. We wonder your take on what Harvard has done, the award, and at some point, the NFL is going to come out on the wrong side of history. I'm telling you. You could say all you want, thinking that they're doing the right thing. They think that, you know, the viewership had gone down, Chris. And they don't think that black people have stopped watching the NFL. Some of my friends have stopped watching the NFL and are upset and disappointed at how Kaepernick and other players have been treated.
Right, yeah. And look, we want to hear from you, 877-99 on Fox. Agree or disagree with us.
Yes.
Whatever your take, call us in. We may disagree, but it's all love. Call us up, 877-99 on
Fox. We want to hear what
Fox.
You have to say.
Right, and Kaepernick, you know, I remember, Rob, I thought he was being more courageous when he started this because, remember, at the time, he was a backup quarterback.
Right.
He was expendable.
He wasn't the starting quarterback who had just went to the Super Bowl the year before,
right,
where you would have more clout. Right.
If Russell Wilson does this, it's not nearly as – it's a big deal, but it's not – he's in the league.
Right.
He's not getting the pushback from the NFL. If LeBron James does this, he's not getting the pushback from the NBA at all because they are – they can't be replaced. Colin Kaepernick is a good quarterback. He's not great. And he was expendable. So I actually thought it took more courage to do what he did. I don't know if he thought about that. I don't know if he counted up the cost and said, this might – cost me my career,
but
or
you know,
not.
Chris, you
but
know what? People
it was
don't
courageous
think,
to do it.
People don't think like that when they just can't take it anymore and they're pushed to serve. You know that. There's a calling that comes to you where you say, this is not right. I can't sit here and act like nothing's going on here.
Yeah.
And I think that's why guys wind up doing that and people become very courageous and they easily could just be, he had a great life. Yeah, Chris, he had a great great life, NFL
yeah, he
quarterback.
He grew up in the hood. And beyond
no.
it, before that, he grew up, you know, with in the suburbs. A white family adopted him.
Yes.
And he had all his needs and wants met. So he and again, some people are even taking shots at him for that. Oh, you didn't grow up in the hood. What you talking about? Again, that's more sacrificial.
Yes.
You know, he didn't have these problems. The police, I'm sure when he was still in the league, before he started kneeling, if he ever got stopped, I'm sure they gave him love.
Right.
Once they recognized who he was, right?
No
let
doubt
him,
about
probably
it.
Probably let him get away with speeding or whatever. But I want to get back to the other point you made, Rob, about the black-on-black crime versus the police brutality. African-Americans who, you know, protest against the police brutality are not in any way overlooking black-on-black crime. They're just two different things.
Right.
As you said it, one, the average citizen is not paid to protect and serve his other citizens.
Yes.
Policemen are paid to protect and serve. That's the difference. We're not saying it's okay when blacks kill each other. I do think, you know, first of all, there are blacks trying to fight against that.
Of course. Many. And Chris, can I give you
the... And I do think we can even make more noise about that, too.
And can I give you the stat of the day, and then we can get some calls in here? You ready for the stat of the day?
Yep.
90% of all black people kill... 90% of black people are killed by other black people. These are FBI statistics. You can look them up.
Yep.
83% of all white people are killed by white people. It's not a black thing. Most people are killed by who, Chris? People they know, people they live around, family, friends, yep, spouses, husbands, wives. So it's not a race thing. People need to get off that black-on-black crime. You never hear white-on-white crime in the news. Never.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
And I'm really excited about our next guest. He's been in some tremendous movies throughout his career. He has a new book that's out in Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Lulu.com. It's called From Fatherlessness to Fatherhood. And let's welcome in the great Omar Epps. Omar, welcome to The Odd Couple.
What's going on? Go Cowboys.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hey, we going to get to your boys because you're going to have to defend them.
How are you going to be a Cowboy fan growing up in Brooklyn, man? I'm got an issue
right
with that.
Yeah, let's go there.
How are you a Cowboy fan?
No, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, Tony Dorsett was my favorite player. So that's it, you know.
That's it.
So you didn't care the Giants, Giants and Jets? Giants. You didn't like the Giants or Jets? No?
When I was a kid, they were terrible. I mean, most New York teams are terrible, Seth. But the Yankees, go Yankees. But that was my guy. Tony Dorsett was my guy growing up, and I loved him as a player. And so, you know, I've just been running with the boys ever since.
Well, I'll say this: you can't be that happy with Dak Prescott. Is he going to bounce back? He doesn't look like the same quarterback he was in his rookie year. Are you worried about him at all?
No, honestly, I'm not. I think that he played lights out in his first season, you know, behind the wheel. And I think that he set a high bar. But I think that he, you know, because there were no expectations. Things are easy when no one has any expectations. You know, once you set a bar, then it's like we see your talent and what you can do. So, you know, obviously last season we had the cloud hovering with everything Zeke was dealing with and what have you. And, you know, all right, we won a game this season. I think the D is playing way better than people anticipated. So, I'm excited. I'm excited about our chances.
Where do you stand on the Dez Bryant thing?
I mean, as a fan, it kind of, you know, it hurts, you know, because Dez is a phenomenal player. You know, I wanted him to be a lifelong Cowboy, but we all know how the business goes in all sports, right? Sometimes the business gets in the way, and, you know, I don't necessarily like the way that it was done. And then obviously you got Whitney, you know, probably the first ballot Hall of Famer leaving at the same time. I don't think that we prep for that. You know, we're just plugging in some young guys who are talented, but I don't think there was necessarily a strategy there. But I wish the best to Dez. I definitely think he should be on the team right now. I mean, the guy is incredible. And with the knowledge that he has, you know, from being in the league so long, I think he'd be an asset in the locker room as well as on the field.
What about basketball in the NBA? You got a favorite team or player? Please say not LeBron James. Oh, I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
He's a hater, man.
I'm kidding.
Come on, man. Listen, the biggest story in the NBA this year is going to be LeBron. It's going to be what can he do, with these young guys. It's an exciting thing. There's some talented teams in the NBA. The West obviously seems to be stacked, but I think it's all about, you know, who can take out the Warriors, if that's even possible. I mean, they're like the Patriots of the NBA, you know what I mean? Like, you know, from the coaching staff down to the players. But I think I'm excited to see what LeBron can do. I think that, what he's done in his career has just been nothing short of incredible. And no disrespect to anyone, but when you look at, you know, I mean, the guy basically played with three different teams last year, right? There were two different at least.
Yeah. Right.
Whole squads and went to the final. That's just absurd. We've never seen anything like this happen. So, you know, I don't think that the comparison, the MJ thing, I don't even think that's a conversation. It's just let's just pay attention and enjoy this moment with this guy of this era.
But it is the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. We are talking with Omar Epps. So are you saying that you think LeBron is better than Jordan?
No. That's not what I'm saying, because MJ is in a class of his own.
Right. You're just saying, let's enjoy what we're watching, right?
Yeah. Let's just.
But comparison, you know, that makes it fun, man. You know, you've had fun conversations with people comparing
with your buddies,
Jordan and LeBron.
But you can't do it. It's like comparing, you know, musicians. Or like you can't compare Muhammad Ali to Floyd Mayweather. You just can't do it. It was a different era.
Ali was better.
I mean, and you're entitled to think that, but you can't really do it. I mean,
we all know definitively.
It's a different era. It's a different era. It's a different weight class. And I think with what LeBron has done with the teams that he's had and the coaches that he's had, because I think what gets lost in the LeBron MJ comparison is the fact that MJ had Phil Jackson, who was the Bill Belichick of basketball. You know what I mean? Like, come on, you can't discredit like the genius of what he was as a coach back then.
But,
so it's just a hard conversation to have. But in terms of talent wise, the guy is like a cyborg. We've never seen anything. We've never seen a physical specimen like LeBron James do the things that he can do. Period.
I thought actors would be up in arms that LeBron would come to L.A. because he wants to take every acting job and every movie coming out. I mean, LeBron.
Nah.
Omar, I got to confess, man, Love and Basketball, the movie you starred in with Sanaa Lathan, that's one of my favorite movies.
Absolutely.
I'm not the type to watch movies, you know, over and over again a lot, but that's a movie that I can watch several times. And, you know, a lot of your movies, you played an athlete. Love and Basketball, you're obviously a basketball star. The Program, which was a great movie. You were a football star, I believe, a running back. And Higher Learning, you were a great track athlete. So were you an athlete coming up as a younger guy?
Yeah, man. I used to play football for the Brooklyn Skyhawks, a Pop Warner League team. And you know, growing up, I thought I was going to be, I thought I was going to make it to the league, man. And then I got hit real hard when I was about 14. I was like, hey, maybe I'm meant to do something else.
That's what happens mostly to most people.
Right.
No doubt
right.
about it. But how about your favorite movie of all time? Because I think it's always curious, obviously, movies you weren't in, but just what's your favorite movie of all time?
I mean, it's hard to pick one. There's just so many different great ones of the different eras and decades. But for me, one of my favorite, it's way top of the list, is The Wiz. You know, The Wiz.
See, it's funny you say
classic.
That. The Wizard of Oz is my favorite movie. But I'll tell you this. The Wiz stands. It's hard to make a remake. And most people don't even realize that it's a remake. But The Wiz stands on its own. Like, if you never saw The Wizard of Oz, am I right, Omar? You would be like, it's a great movie.
I mean, the soundtrack by itself, you know, what Quincy Jones did with that is just incredible. Like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And as a kid, I really enjoyed that, you know, the purity of Michael Jackson and Nipsey Russell. Of course, Diana Ross playing Dorothy. That was just a film that I believe the original had four different albums, like if you bought the soundtrack.
Right.
But, that was up there for me.
If you could play any athlete in a movie, obviously it has to be a great athlete, worthy of a movie, but who would it be?
That's a great question. I mean, I'd be open to that, but I think the people would, you know, if Mike Tomlin goes down to be one of the great coaches, they're going to say, I got to play him.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see the resemblance.
Are you Charmin Soft, too, when it comes to running this? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Rob is a wannabe stand-up comedian, if you didn't know. And a hater, as you do know.
I'm not a hater. I'm a journalist. Stop saying that, Chris.
I thought that's why the call dropped, because of that cowboy hate, man.
Oh,
I was like.
You thought it was my finger on the button. Not at all. So we should get back to the Cowboys before we ask you about your book. Will they make the playoffs? Because, you know, with that NFC East, there are a lot of good teams, you know, with the Eagles there, and Carson Wentz is coming back this Sunday. Are the Cowboys going to make the playoffs?
Hey, you know what? It's tough, but I think we have a great shot. I think we got a great squad. Dak is getting his sea legs underneath him for this season. He didn't play a lot in the preseason, and I think that's what we saw a lot of in the first game, and getting that synergy with the young receivers. You know, when you come in and you're a young guy and you got a guy like Witten and Dez, you got two guys like Witten and Dez to go to, man, it makes it a lot easier. So now they're bringing in these young cats. You know, you just got to get that synergy. That's what it's all about. I think they need to use Cole Beasley a lot better. I think he's a secret weapon. Obviously, you got Zeke. We got some injuries on the line, but our defense is I really feel confident about the team because our defense is pretty damn stout, if you ask me. Lawrence is a beast. You know, our secondary is playing a lot better. So we're in a tough division, to your point, but that's good because we get through the division. That sets us up for the playoffs to have a run.
Omar, you, as I said earlier, you stepped into the literary world and wrote your first memoir. It's called From Fatherless to Fatherhood. Why don't you tell us about the main message you're trying to convey in your book?
Well, it's about fatherhood. You know, I grew up without a father, and I became a father, and so I've been navigating this terrain and figuring it out without a blueprint, so to say. You know, I felt compelled to share my story with the world to hopefully use it as a tool of inspiration to others, whether a man has kids or you know, doesn't have kids or went wayward from his fatherhood, just as a tool of inspiration and sort of an insight into my life from that scope.
That's great,
That's
man.
Awesome.
It sounds great.
No doubt.
You can pick it up at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and Lulu.com. Omar, man, thanks for joining
Appreciate
us.
It.
And we'll be looking for you in that Mike Tomlin movie coming out in the future.
Hey, okay. Let me ask you one last thing real quick. You used to watch The Odd Couple on Channel 11 in New York growing up, didn't you?
Absolutely. Yes, that's one of my favorite shows growing up. It's an incredible show. And congrats to you guys, by the way. I think this is great. It's a great forum, you know, to talk shop. And, you know, respect to both of you guys with what you're doing.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, my man. Thank you. Appreciate
no
it.
No doubt.